Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He's always up to something good. He's always amazing. And I'm excited about the things that he put in my heart to share today. Yesterday's broadcast, I touched on following God again. And that's something that I'm still learning about. And the Lord's been, he's been dealing with me about following him since the early 90s when he first revealed to me that was the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. Well, it sounds like a simple message, but it's, and it really is simple. But it's following him, doing what he gives you to do. There's a strong rest in it. And, you know, he called yesterday's broadcast Perfect Timing, Perfect Will. Now, as we grow from glory to glory, the Lord will introduce us to greater things. When he does, when it's time for him to introduce you to something that you don't know. When you as you in the learn you've been skilled, you've done it, you know, so many pastors, they got people to a certain point. Then it's time to go to the next level. People love to say the next level. And it's true, it is a next level, but with God, He's including you into something more necessary. Sometimes it's necessary for you to learn something that you couldn't get anywhere else. He's gonna have to introduce you to it. And for that reason, you have to trust him. That's where your trust comes in. Now, not much teaching has been done about faith, or faith has been taught more than trust. And trust is different. But where I'm going with this, trust will take you to somewhere greater. If you can trust the Lord on some things, he's taking you forward. And if you trust him, you go there in faith. When you act on trust, that trust becomes faith. But in order, if it's, and Christians are this way, if it's too new, they like to stay safe. They want to be accepted by others. And people don't like to go out of their normal. But trust, if you trust God, he's going to lead you out of your normal routine. And you're going to love it because it's wisdom. Remember, the whole word of God is the perfect counsel of his love, his holiness, and his wisdom. And when people do things, then the Lord has something to do. You know, he has a solution for our problems. If you notice, God didn't give us a law until man proved to be lawless. So when people got lawless, then God gave them a law, because the law is for the lawless. The Ten Commandments, he didn't give Adam the Ten Commandments. He gave people that came out of idolatry the Ten Commandments. He did miracles to show them how he is. But see, the Hebrews that came out of Egypt, that the authority figure that was in their heart, that was in their heart and mind, was Pharaoh. So when it was time for them to trust God, they always acted like God was going to do what Pharaoh did. And God is love, Pharaoh is pride. That's the most basic way I can put it. So they expected God to be full of pride, like Pharaoh. But God was the opposite of Pharaoh. They just didn't know it because they didn't trust. They obeyed him, but they never trusted him. Only a few people trusted him. Caleb and Joshua trusted him out of the 10. So that gives you a strong picture of what the rest of the people were like. What 20% trusted, well, maybe 15%. It was 12 spies. Two of them trusted God. The rest of them went with the world. See, when you trust God, you're learning his likeness. And when you trust him, we know his voice when we want something. And we also know his voice when he wants something. Or when he brings something to us. We know what he's we know that he made a statement, but it's carrying you out of your normal routine. If you follow him, you go there. Now, as we go forward in Him, you have to trust Him on some things. And this is what happened to me. The Lord taught me how necessary it was for people to follow Him. And it's a story of how He chose me to do that. But nevertheless, the reason I followed Him with ministry, it was like I ended yesterday's broadcast talking about how it was easy for me to follow Him in ministry, but it was complicated and hard for me to follow Him with my business. And this is why in business, in ministry, I didn't know what to do anyway. So I counted on, I said, I've seen men mess up the plans of God so long. I noticed it. I grew up in church. Some people really love God while some people didn't. And I'm going to talk about that more later. And I wanted to make sure I would love Him and do His will. So that was my prime objective, was to love God and love man. And when He called me to the ministry, I felt pressure because I said, I don't know what to do. And I didn't want to do it because I knew I didn't know what to do. I wasn't trying to sound humble. I didn't want to mess. It's too important. And I knew I didn't know what to do. Still don't. Of myself. But when God gave me a message, that's when I got interested in ministry. I said, oh, he's gonna give me what to say. Every time He'll give me what to say in ministry. And I learned some things. One of the things I learned, you can be in, you if you do exactly what He say, He can enable you to be the perfect blessing for the people that's in the audience. Now, I don't know what people need, but God does. He gave me a message, and it's relevant at that time in the people's lives that's out there in the audience. And, you know, by doing it God's way, you can help people prevent problems such as suicide, divorce, drugs, if you just yield to Him. And I learned that in ministry. If I yield to the Lord, I can really be a blessing to people. And that's what I really wanted to do. But in business, I knew how to fix a car. I knew how to fill out a receipt. I knew how to charge. I didn't charge enough, and that's another problem. And that was one of the hardest things for me to learn. My mind said I want to be a blessing to people, and somewhere I got a little off track because the Lord, I kept making the same problems. I said, Lord, why do I keep making the same mess? He said, you feel in your heart. See, that's another thing. What's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. He said, you feel like you have to be a blessing to people at the expense of your family in your heart. So now I knew what to change. You have to charge a fair price. And that was the most difficult thing for me to do, to charge what it really costs. Because I've heard about so many mechanics, they overcharge people or get over on people. They lie and say they did something that they really didn't do. And I never wanted to be that guy. And, you know, a lot of people wanted to go in business with me, but when I saw how they do things, I'd rather do it by myself. Unless they love God and they're going to do it right. But in business, I was finding my way. And I trusted what I thought, or the way I scoped the thing, you know, my vision of how things were to go. I had a visual of how I wanted to do it, and I trusted that more than trusting the Lord with my business. Now, He helped me. He worked with me. He taught me to, I was so in a hurry to finish a job every day that I would go to the parts store and see if they had the part. And if they didn't have it, I'd go to another one. The Lord said, He showed me an example one day. Now, I went to my mom's house and I saw one of those small spiders that can move real quick. Now, this spider's about the size of an ant. It's one of them little dusty brown spiders. You can barely see him, but he can run much faster than the ant. Now, the ant was walking in a straight line. This spider was covering more ground, but he was going in circles, and then he stopped and rest while the ant was going in a straight line slow. And the spider, you know, he went all over the place, and he was right back at around the same spot, and the ant was going in a straight line. Now I'm watching this while I'm waiting on my mom to come to the door. Now they were on the wall, you know, spiders can run on a wall, you know. Nevertheless, by the time my mom came to the door, the ant had walked about a foot. The spider had probably did about 10 feet, but he was in the same spot. And then I realized that was me. I'm going all over town for trying to find parts instead of getting on the phone and see who has the part I need. Now it'll take five more minutes to get people on the phone, and maybe 10 to find out who has the part. But if I get in my car or my truck, it's going to take me a good 20 minutes to get there and find out they don't have it, or they may or may not have it. And then it's going to take me another 20 to 30 minutes to go somewhere else, stand in line and wait my turn and see if they got it. So I started calling. That saved me a lot of time. Now, God gave me, he helped me with this kind of wisdom. You can see how hard my day was doing it my way. I was so focused on hurrying up that I didn't use wisdom. But when I saw that visual, I adapted. Now, in ministry, I would always receive what God said, because I didn't want to make unnecessary mistakes, because I love God and I love his people. See, Christian people, they argue over points. If they were taught a certain way, that's the way it is. But I had to go before the Lord. I said, two Christians are saying two opposite things. Which one is right? Sometimes neither one of them were right. When the Holy Spirit would show you the answer of it all, sometimes they were both right about a point and wrong about another point. Sometimes they were both wrong. Sometimes one of them was right and one of them was wrong. And I knew that you can be so dedicated to a thought that you'll believe it is true. But the Holy Spirit, see, he can only sanction truth. He's the spirit of truth. If you teach something wrong, it won't work in people's lives. And it'll take them for a loop. It'll just be an unnecessary problem for them. But if you teach the word in truth, it can really help people. And I knew that. And I wanted to be a blessing, not a curse. I didn't want to give people extra stumbling blocks. I wanted to be a blessing. So my strategy was to hear what God had to say and do what he gave me to do. And that worked out well. That's following God. Now, when he gave me a message for people, I'm the observer, because the message came through me. I didn't know what people need. He gave me a message, and I see how God problem solves, and it helps me to learn. I'm learning things that I can't learn any other way. Sometimes because, and when you're faithful, the Lord will trust you with more knowledge. So he was giving me things that people could to help his people grow. I'm the observer and I'm watching. And then it helped me to grow from even greater. Now, in those days, I was studying scriptures. But when he said study chapters, I read 5 in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. That was my regimen. And I usually did it wrong. I usually read 5 in the morning, and then I would not go to sleep until I read those 10 more chapters. And sometimes I'd be so sleepy after work, and I would just walk around the living room reading the word till I got the rest of those 10 chapters in. Well, that helped me to follow God even more, because when the Lord brought something to my attention, I had a reference for it. It's much easier to follow God when you fill your heart with the word of God. Now, I learned some things about the Lord from doing this. I said yesterday that there are three things that I've noticed in people that pull off great miracles, or the Lord is working in their life doing great miracles, or helping them understand things. They're doing things that's just off the chart. Their testimonies are just off the chart. I noticed these three things about them. They have the love of God in their heart. They have obedience, and they have sincerity. And when that's in place, They always leave a pattern of good works. And the Lord is working with them, doing great miracles and trusting them with people's souls, you know. And I've never seen so many people get healed like I do at the church at Victory, where I go. It's an atmosphere that people believe. They've had good teaching. So when people hear the word, it's easy for them to receive it. When they don't hear the word, they're going by what they know. And what you know can restrict you. But when you hear the word, it's easy to trust God. It's easy to believe that you'll be healed. And I thank God for that. I love that kind of atmosphere. But even the greatest things that's in motion, when the Lord brings something to your attention that's new to you, I learned to put that on the top shelf, because now I've been faithful in the past, and now he's given me something new that's new to me. That means that you're growing from glory to glory. That's how the word says. It doesn't say the next level. It says we grow from glory to glory. It takes trust to enter into the next glory and learn. And you have to become a student all over again. It's like going to, you know, when you begin, it's like going to the first grade. And now you're learning from the Lord all over again. Your predecessors may not have ever gotten to that point, but you did. And sometimes people will stop. They won't go past where the predecessor went, the person that trained them, the people that they looked to. But David said, your word has taught me, you know, by your word, I'm messing up the scripture. In other words, he's saying, through your word, I've grown beyond my teachers. The Lord has given him more wisdom than his teachers. That's supposed to happen. Jesus said, he that believeth on me will do greater works. Because God is going to take you to another glory. The Lord took Christ to heaven, but the Holy Spirit came to help us grow from glory to glory. If Jesus would have stayed on earth, he would have done it. If you follow Jesus, you'll do it. Don't think it's strange, and don't be jealous for your predecessors if you do something greater. That's supposed to happen. That meant that they were a good teacher. They did what they were supposed to do. So it is with the people under your ministry. They're supposed to do better than you, and they may do it while you're alive. That's supposed to happen. And the reason it happened is because you did what you were supposed to do. They've been watching the miracles flow. They've been watching you do what God said do. They're growing and learning. And that's supposed to happen. That's normal. The next generation should be a whole lot further along than we started out. They should grow beyond us and keep going. That's how it's supposed to. You know, if we do our job, that's what happened. But then every time you enter the next glory, you have to be a humble student. And you have to protect what God has given you. Don't let the enemy steal it. And so when people if they continue to have the love of God in their heart, their prime motive is the love of God. And they have obedience, and then they have sincerity, they can do it. They can master that new knowledge. And you have to receive it as truth and master it. Now when I'm preaching and teaching and the Lord calls me to say something that's beyond my intelligence, I say it. People think just because I said it, I'm an expert. I'm not an expert. And I'm kind of surprised, because I didn't know that was going to come out that way. So I remember it. And then I go back and ask the Lord questions. I become a humble student. I said, Lord, teach me all about that. That was good. And I need to know it right. And this will happen. You ministers know what I'm talking about. It happens quite often sometimes. And I learned to ask some questions about it. That's where we get to a point where we stick with what God says. It's don't ever leave the things of God to happenstance. Now, the sincerity, the reason I included the Holy Spirit, included sincerity, is because the only way to have sincerity is to drive out pride. You can't have pride and sincerity at the same time. You're going to have one or the other, even if you love God and even if you're obedient. Sincerity, that's that innocent first love. That's the when you mean it. When your love is your perfect love will drive out fear. But when if pride is in the heart, you can't be sincere. It's impossible to be sincere before the Lord if you have any amount of pride in your heart. You may have pride in your mind, that don't count. But if it gets in your heart, you can't be sincere. Nobody who got in pride, they couldn't be sincere anymore. Once Saul got off track, he got in pride. He didn't repent from it. He didn't drive it out of his heart. So he knew it was wrong. He told David, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have killed. He felt bad. He knew he was wrong, but he still didn't repent. And he couldn't be sincere. What did David do after Paul left him? After the Lord gave Saul into David's hands, and he cut some of his garments off to prove to him that he could have killed him. And the second time this happened, Saul said he promised David he'll never do that again. But what did David do? He hid, because a proud man cannot be sincere. They feel bad because they're caught. They repent because they are caught. They tell the judge they're sorry because they know that they were wrong, and that's it. But a proud man can't be sincere. So the only way to be sincere is to fully charge. You know, Jesus said, "Let your life shine." The fruits of the Spirit, that comes from the being born again. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This comes from this is not something you have to master. This is something that came because you believe that Jesus' blood washed your sins away. That's how you got the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You have the nature of God, the true nature of God. All you have to do is drive out the things that will rise up against it, such as pride, fear, unbelief, doubt, all those nasty things of the world. They have nothing to do with the life that God has given you. We don't have to muster up the fruits of the Spirit. They came from the new birth. All we have to do is walk in it. God gave Canaan land to Israel. They had the land. And then he said, possess it. Drive out the Canaanites. Everything that's not of God, just drive it out of your heart. Don't let it exist anywhere in your heart. Fill your heart with the word, and that's the only way to renew your mind. If you fill your heart with the word of God, you will renew your mind. In your mind, it'll think on the thoughts of the Lord. When we fill our heart with the love of God, it enables us to drive out those nasty Philistines. All the Philistine thoughts, all the Amalekites, all the Canaanites, we drive it out of our heart. You know, and we drive it out. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not complicated. Drive those Hivites out of your life. Everything that's not right, drive it out. And just govern your life by the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are already there. They're included in the love of God. And you won't ever have a problem with being sincere. And the rest of God will be on your life. It will remain on you. The Holy Spirit came on Christ and remained. when the Lord is resting on, the only way he can rest on you, you have to have his love in you. You have to be sincere. And he'll rest on you. He'll rest on you. And then when he gives you new knowledge, you won't fight it. If you can be sincere about it, and you're going to lose something. Now, I learned this from the Lord. If you walk in sincerity, you're going to bother everybody that has pride in their heart. You'll expose it for what it is. And pride and sincerity don't mix. This is why so many Christians get divorced. When people start drawing near to the Lord, they're not living a compromised life anymore. And people that have pride in their heart always have a problem. And it took me a long time to realize that. And I don't say these things lightly. I had to learn this stuff. I learned it the hard way. If you listen to the warning of God, he'll spare you from such pain. Because every time a proud person, I allowed him in my life, the Lord always gave, I had some kind of warning. So now, I love everybody. Everybody gets the shotgun love. I love them all. Even the ones that are proud. But I know not to go in business with them. I know not to marry them. Because even if they love God and everything seems, if they have pride in them, only God know that. If they got any pride, they're going to have a problem as you grow in the Lord. You're going to grow to a point and then they won't even understand why they don't want to be around you. And they got the same problem with God. As the Lord teach me, I see it for what it is. But when you're sincere, you attract people that are sincere. But when people, sincerity is of the heart. That's personal. People choose to be sincere. Some people, that's why I say I want all of my life to be worship. Every part of my life I want to be worship. I don't want to have a part of my life that excludes God. Every part of my life, I want my whole life to be clean before God. Worship, my work, my marriage, my relationships with my children. I want it to be godly, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, full of his love and patience. I want to see people like God does. And I want to respond to people accordingly. And I want to do the things of God on purpose. When people, Pastor said that people have faith accidents. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. And when you finish something and it works, you can tell if you had a faith accident because you'll be surprised. You have faith in your heart and doubt in your mind. And when it happens, you're surprised. Just like when Peter came to the house, the damsel came and opened the door. She's looking at Peter for joy. She closed the door and left him out there and went and told everybody that he was out there. They the ones who broke through so the angel could bust him out of jail. They had a faith accident. They had faith in their heart. But then the things they said to the girl proved that they had doubt in their mind. Somebody said, well, that was his angel. Now, that doesn't make sense at all. That was his angel? That's not even in the scriptures. They believed that more than the fact that he was out there. He knocked on the door and then they all went out there and saw him. They broke through in prayer. They had faith and no doubt in their heart. That's why it happened. But they had doubt in their mind. So the same thing is true. You can be sincere in your heart and still have pride in your mind. Herod had pride in his heart when he made his statements and the worms ate him. Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing, but he had doubt in his mind. And the word pointed that out. He had pride. He had not doubt. He had pride in his mind, but not in his heart. So God could work with him. He let him have the mind of an animal for 7 years. Then he came back and he wasn't a problem against Daniel anymore at all. It's not recorded that he did anything else as crazy as he did when he had pride in his mind. But pride can be definitely driven out of your heart. When we fill our heart with the, I don't trust myself to just obey everything God said do. I do it the easy way. I fill my heart with his love, and there's no law against love. I fill my heart with his word. The word of God is the knowledge of love. I fill my heart with his word, and then I can be appropriate no matter what happens. And I can learn to do whatever it is he want to do. I can say yes, Lord, without biting my nails. I can say, yeah, I don't want to be like the, you know, God gave me a word one time. It's on the audio 5 page. It was called, it was something about a dog bath. You know, when God tell you to do something and you feel like the dog is about to get a bath, you know, if you got a, I had a dog, he was a beautiful dog. He was half collie, half hound dog. So he had almost a white ring around his neck, but his hair would lay down like a hound dog. And he had a bushy tail. He was a beautiful dog. And I loved that dog. His name was Bruce. That was my dog. I never had a dog after him. I'm too busy to really give a dog enough attention and walk him and stuff. And for a long time, I worked 2 jobs, so I just never got another dog. And I don't know if I ever will in this life. But I love my dog. But when it was time to bathe him, that old tail would go between.